Yudalad Adar Purim. We're holding a Siman Kuf Mem Aleph Halacha Chabeis, and we're going to Siman Kuf Mem Beis Halacha Hey. Obviously, we're discussing the laws of Purim. We're continuing with Shachas, getting up in the morning. I'm going to send this out tonight because it's Negev for tomorrow morning, and there's a big inner to get up early. It's one of the 5 days that you're supposed to get up early for sure. If you, of course, if you're partying all night, it'll be very difficult. The idea, first of all, it's a tremendous skula time to daven early in the morning. And many different delusions. School, as you saw, quotes the idea that anyone puts out his hand is they hand it to him, meaning you're supposed to, you know, when it comes to tzedakah, you're supposed to not be so careful who's asking for tzedakah. Same thing in Shemayim, to do the same thing. In any case, this is the process. You go into shul and you daven Shmoneh Esrei, regular shachas and Shmoneh Esrei. Then you do chatzi kaddish, you read Pashas Vayova Amalek. And this is also about Amalek, of course. And therefore, you should have in mind for those that did not fulfill the obligation on Shabbos Parsha Zohar. You have three aliyahs. Then after you do Chatzi Kaddish, you return the Sefer Torah, which by the way, the Bir Halacha actually discusses what to do with the Sefer Torah. It's not so clear. The Sfaradim actually leave the Sefer Torah on the Bima. Then you read the Megillah. And after the last bracha, you don't say Asher Heini, which you say per night. And then when you make the beautiful bracha, Kelo Mashiach, you say Shoshana Siakov, like we did the night of Purim. You say Asher Balatir, Kadasham, Tiskabel. And you're not supposed to take off your tefillin until after the Kriyas of Megillah. Why? Because it says in Megillah, Vikar. And Chazal say, tefillin, Vikar is referring to tefillin. If there's circumcision, so based on the Pasuk, it says Vesosan Vikar, Mila, circumcision comes first, but then many have the meaning actually to do it afterwards, especially if the circumcision is going to be in a different building. I actually have someone that's making a bris tomorrow. When it comes to a city that's surrounded from the time Yeshua ben Nun, this is a very interesting mitzvah. That means to say that if you recall, hopefully you were following along in the reading of the Megillas Esther, so it says there that the people in the walled city didn't rest until the 14th, meaning until the 15th. They fought the 13th and the 14th, and they rested on the 15th, as opposed to all the other walled city, unwalled cities. Now, the Malbim explains, well, it's not for now, if you listen to the videos, of why that is. But in any case, because of this, and Yerushalmi explains that really it should have been any walled city from the time of Shushan, right, from the time of the story of Purim. But they didn't want to insult Israel, because at that time Israel was at ruin, was in ruin. So therefore, they included it, they said from the time Yeshua Binun, and therefore it includes also Yerushalayim, of course. Yerushalayim is the only city that for sure only lands on the 15th. There are many interesting cities in Yerushalayim, in the Eretz Yisrael, that are in doubt. For example, Tveria, Tzfat, Akko, Bet She'an, all these cities, they lean both on the 14th and the 15th. Nevertheless, a bracha is only recited on the 14th. But all the other mitzvahs, like having a Suda, Mishlach Manas, Matas of Yenim, they are makpid to do, just they don't do excessively like they do on the 14th. In Chutzlaot, as the Kitzur points out, there's no city that's assumed to be walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, although Prague, interestingly enough, is a big discussion whether that is surrounded from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, but I don't think they read on both days. Okay, Siman Kuf Mebeis, we're starting the details of the halachas of Mishloach Manos Matanos Lavim Nesudas Purim. So there's an obligation to send to at least one person two matanos, two chasheva portions of food. That's what the poskim say. It's based on the pasuk Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'eyu, and it implies two matanas. That means to say you have to one person, you have to give two respectful pieces of food. You could also have like a nice drink, chashev drink, a bottle of wine, and a challah. That'll be a perfect type of Mishloach Manos. There are many types of themes, like I mentioned in the daily videos that we have. And many times a person could just give to do this stuff, but never fulfill one. You should do one properly. Not only that, Mishmur discusses whether Mishloach Manos, and it seems to be that the Kitzur is alluding to this, maybe you should do it through a messenger. Someone asked me this question, and I told him that it's not so hard today to do two Mishloach Manos, so one you should do through a messenger, and why not? That would be probably the best and preferred way of doing things. As the Kitzur says, the more you give, the greater. But it's much better to increase in Matanos Lavyanim than to increase in your meal and in Mishloach Manos. Why? Because there's no greater joy and glorified joy in front of Hashem to gladden the hearts of the poor and the orphans and the widows. And it says, someone that makes the hearts of those that are miserable happy, they are like the Shekhinah, because it says, L'chus l'shvalim, l'chus lev nitzkim. So therefore, it's something so important to make sure as much as possible to take care of poor people. What exactly is considered Matanas Levyon? I mean, what's the category of an Evyon? Some say Mamish, like the pits, you know, can't marry Mamish, has no penny, doesn't have any clothing. But the most poskim in the Hashulchan Aruch says Matanas Levyon means like an Ani. That means a person that's not making it on a monthly basis is also included in the person who receives Matanas Levyon. Now, the Kitz also points out that Manos means not just that it's a respectable type of food, but it also has to be something that can be eaten right away. It can't be raw food. I was arguing with my children exactly how much today, because the Pesachim say goes based on what's a respectful meal today. So how much money do you give Matanas Levyon? So it's between probably $10 and $20, depending if a guy goes to like the supermarket, he's probably could get for $10 a nice bagel with some good pieces of meat. But if he really wants to get something that he's not going to feel embarrassed, perhaps it's a little bit more expensive. So that's why I suggested for people that could afford it $40, because $20 for each ani. And but if someone can't, then it's the normal would probably be $20, $10 for each person. Next, as we mentioned, the Kitzur even says that you could give candies and stuff like that. But as we pointed out, this should be something chashuv. Next, even a person that's an ani and is receiving charity has to give two matanas to two aniim. That means to say again, matanas levyon, one matana to each evyon. And when it comes to, we said, pulling, we're not medactic. We're not careful. Anyone that puts out his hand, you give him. As we said, Kabbalistically, that also translates to turning to Hashem, that he opens, so to speak, the, when we put out our hand to Hashem, he has to give. Hashem, ask for the gula. Someone that doesn't have any poor people around him, so he should keep the money by himself, or he should send them to them, meaning, and that's what many people do. I'm collecting, I'm always collecting, I'm giving out. For people that you could still probably send tonight or tomorrow. Women are obligated in the midst of Mishloach Manos Matanas Levyonim. And although there are many interesting chidushim, opinions that say Yishtaki Gufa, therefore the man, the woman fulfills it through the man, but really the right thing to do is for a woman to give to a woman, a man to give to a man. A man should not give a woman Mishloach Manos. Matanas Levyonim is not a problem. The whole concern is it looks like maybe it's chidushim, so it's interesting. The Maisa said that's the right thing to do. So therefore, women are obligated in all mitzvahs. The only thing that they're not obligated is to get drunk. And there's an amazing analysis that says that there's a special ha'orah, like an enlightenment, that takes place on Purim specifically for women. And I think it's possible that they don't need to get drunk. They don't need to be in this physical world, much more spiritual, and therefore they could get this place without getting drunk. Next, a person is obligated to eat and drink and be happy in Purim. Now at night, you're also supposed to eat and drink a little bit, but not like as much as the daytime. And then he discusses Motzei Shabbos, what do you do? So you should actually minimize and by Shalshus, so you have some room with the Shabbos. That's how important the meal of a Purim night is. Again, it's not the fulfillment of the obligation of eating a meal, but there's still big Indian. And it's actually also, what else? You have to should light your candle. It should be candles lit, and because that's like a Simcha Yom Tov. And at even the night of the 15th, you should be happy to. Interesting, just say the 15th day. By Hasidim and many, they celebrate the 15th, and especially, of course, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, people make sure they have 2 days of partying. So as long as they're doing the Shem Shemaim, it's amazing. When it comes to Matanas Levyon and Amanas, it's when the person has to do it during the day. Now, it's interesting that what happens is the meal, which is, of course, an integral part of the day, so many times it gets pushed off towards the end of the day because people are busy with Shemach HaMashlan and everything else. Really, you should at least start. Well, the best thing to do is like this. The person already say you should have a meal ready in the morning if possible. I think above that's the best. But even if you can't do that, you daven mincha early. And then after mincha, even if you start the meal, as long as you have a majority of the meal during the day and you finish at night, that's fine. And you can still say Yalla Nisim. By Chassidim, they go way into the night and they almost make it majority actually of the meal. When it comes to Friday, we had this a few years ago. When it comes to Friday, it's a little bit more complicated. The simple way to do it is to do the Suda in the morning already. Why? Because of Kavod Shabbos. You're not supposed to start a meal. We were learning this actually not so long ago. And you're not supposed to start a meal and later on Friday because you're going to mess up you're not going to be interested in eating it Friday night. But the Maise, the Halacha is that there's also Poskim hold that you could do what's called Pos Mappim Kaddish, which means that in the middle of the meal, you could transform it into Purim. So when we get there, if we have another year like that, we'll discuss it. Before starting the meal, you're supposed to learn Torah. Because it says, "Oida myself, oira, oira zutaira." Beautiful sasemis. It says the whole idea of Torah is supposed to enlighten us. Also, there's a meaning to eat what's called minis aroinim, seeds. Why is that? Why would you eat seeds? And what seeds? So the Ben Shchai says it's even many types of vegetables, beans and stuff like that. It's to remind us of Daniel and his friends in Babel. And remember, Daniel was part of the whole story of Esther, because he was Hasach. And also Esther ate these seeds, and even though they ate these seeds, they were in an incredible looking, beautiful looking. Didn't affect their diet. And the opposite, only make them look more beautiful. So therefore, there's a beginning in Pesumanisa also to have Zaroinim. Some say it's only at night, but you have this beautiful minik, have a beautiful pulling.